Do you, and maybe it's just me, but you've always heard these phrases throughout your life, and this may bear witness with you, it may not, I may just be talking off the top of my head. But things just come, like in, we'll call them waves, if you will. They just come, you know. And I want to differentiate, and the Lord just impressed upon me to share this with you, because I think someone may be struggling with it, I don't know. There's a difference between a test and a trial. There's a difference between a test and a trial. God never puts us through a trial to teach us something. And what do I mean by that? He doesn't cause bad things to happen to us and around us to teach us a lesson. Amen? I believe that He does test us, and let me clarify that. I don't know that, and I can't, and I could be wrong on this, but I don't know that He places tests on us. But I believe, I see His testing as we're going through a trial. He's going to watch and see how we handle that trial. And to me, that is a testing. You know, it says that they'll come, right? These things will come. The storms of life will come. We're not immune from that just because we're born again believers. We're not immune from that. But I believe He watches us when they come to see how we handle the storms of life, to see how we apply our faith, to see if we grow from it, see if we can take something away from it and use that down the road somewhere else. I just wanted to share that today. I don't know if someone's struggling with something in that area, but there it is. So I just want to encourage as we keep those families in prayer, you know, the Lord reminded me of a scripture that says, our life here is but a wisp of vapor, a puff of smoke, a mist. That is our life here on this earth in God's time frame or His view of time. I mean, His understanding of time. And I know you have, anybody ever boiled a pot of water on the stove or a teapot? My grandmother. I loved going to her house because she knew that I loved tea. And I think I just loved it because she loved it and would fix it for me. And I would mix milk in there, and she'd always have fresh honey, and I'd put fresh honey in there. And so it was more milk and honey than it was tea. But I can remember just sitting at her table, and she would put that pot on the stove. And it was always amazing. I was a young boy. It was always amazing when you hear that whistle start. You know, and you see that steam shooting out of that little hole on the pot. I was just taken back to that moment. But that's how our life is here on this earth. It's like that steam coming out of that teapot. You see it. It's shooting out of there. But as you watch it rise, it kind of dissipates into the atmosphere and it's gone. That's how our life is on this earth. And we need to redeem every moment. Every moment. We need to live every moment to the fullest. Now, I know it's hard to do that. I know there's distractions. I know there's life. I know there's kids. I know there's family. I know there's jobs. These are all things that are in our life. But if we could take the opportunity to live life to the fullest, we need to do that. Live each day redeeming the time. In fact, Ephesians 5. Verse 15 out of the Amplified, Ephesians 5:15, reads like this. Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately. Not as the unwise and witless, but as the wise, that is sensible, intelligent people. Making the very most of the time. Buying up each opportunity. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish. In other words, be intentional. We've been talking about being intentional. About going deeper with God. Be intentional. Don't be vague and thoughtless and foolish. But understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. So I think it's, you know, as we have loved ones that go on to be with the Lord, and we have friends and people that we know, even acquaintances, I believe it's a time to just check in with ourselves. You know, are we making the most of our time here on earth? Because it isn't long. Now, some of you younger people, there's a couple. I don't know, Leslie, you might be the youngest person in here today. And you are. You're young. Whether you feel it or believe it, you are a young girl. But, you know, we look at our life, the life ahead of us. You know, I can remember being, I don't know, a teenager, 13, 15, 16, something like that. And, of course, you got to understand the context of this. This is before I was born again, okay? And I couldn't wait to be 21. Anybody going to tell me why? I'm just being real with you, okay? They had moved the drinking age from 18 to 21. And then you get to 21 and you do some things there, and then you're like, man, I can't wait to be like 30-something. I'll have a job making good money, and you know, I'll be able to do these fun things. And you get to 30 and you do those things, and then you're like, man, I can't wait to get to 49. Because I'll have some wisdom about myself, hopefully. And then you're like, man, I can't wait to retire because I'll just get to sit around and do nothing. Now, y'all know that ain't true. Retirees are more busy, I think. In fact, I was just talking to somebody. Lord help. Oh, it was Robert Gearhart. And he said he's retired, you know, retired from Hubble right here. And he said, man, I don't know how I worked 8 hours a day, took care of kids and did all this stuff and had time to do anything else because I'm retired and the kids are grown and, you know, I don't have to go to work, but my day is full. He said, I don't know how I had time to go to work and do all those things and take care of kids. So you look, you have these point of references and you're always looking to the future. And then you get there and you're always looking to the future some more. Man. Good advice. Buy up every moment. Amen. Take stock of every moment in your life. And I know there are good moments and there are bad moments, but we need to relish life in those bad moments just as much as we do in the good moments, because that is where we overcome. That is where the victory is. You know, the victory is not... that doesn't work. Sometimes it's hard to come up with on-the-fly analogies, you know. When you're in the victory, you don't see it as the victory. Does that make sense? But when the war is raging around you, you look to the victory. And I think it's the point when the war is raging around us and we're still looking to the victory, that's part of our faith. Leaning and relying. On our faith. That's a little bit what I want to talk about today. And Reggie shared something in his message 2 weeks ago, and it flew all over me. And maybe it was because where we were, because I listened to it while we're down. We went to Puerto Rico. I don't know if I shared that to you. It never goes below 75. Never gets above 90. Wonderful place. Wonderful place. Beautiful place, and the people are beautiful. We just met some wonderful people down there. But he said something. He used this analogy, and he said he was talking about concrete. He said concrete's a mixture of sand, limestone, and gravel. Now, those three things on their own, you know, are what they, I mean. Limestone is not very strong. Sand, I mean, you don't want to build your house on that. Y'all get that in a minute. But he said when you put those things together and you put a little water to it, it turns into concrete. And that concrete is as strong as steel. I mean, they build bridges out of concrete. They make high-rises out of concrete. They stick those concrete pylons deep into the ground until it hits the bedrock. And they build these magnificent structures out of these three things that, you know, on their own are not much, but put them together, combine them with water, and they become strong. And he compared that to our faith. And what he said was that when we mix our imagination with God's Word, it creates faith, strong faith. Strong faith. And I happened to be listening to it. We were sitting outside on the balcony. I was suffering in that 75, 79 degree weather, looking out through the palm trees at the beach with the water and the ocean. It was terrible. It was terrible. I'm sorry. But I was listening to that, and they were building another high rise like we were in right beside us. And I was out there early in the morning. They hadn't started working yet. But when he said that, I looked over at that structure. And it was without sides and a roof. And it was all concrete. It had concrete pillars, concrete floors in between. I think it was five, maybe six levels. And I was looking at that. I was looking at that concrete. I was like, wow. And then you put it in context. Those of you that know, Puerto Rico just came through a tremendous hurricane about a year and a half ago. Devastated the country there, the economy. Not country, they're part of the United States, but just devastated the island. And you could see effects of that everywhere we went. Now, most of the tourist areas are back up and running. But you, as you drove throughout the island, you could see abandoned buildings. One hotel, beautiful hotel in downtown San Juan, right there. It looked like, do y'all know that building in Times Square? They use it in every movie, every shot that's in between those two roads, and it goes, I don't know which building. It looked kind of like that. It was right in between two roads. Beautiful building, but it was abandoned. Graffiti on it, some. But anyways, so you have to understand, Puerto Rico had been ravished. And so I'm looking at this concrete building, right? And I'm thinking about that hurricane that had just come through and how they were building that structure now to withstand hurricane force winds. So when, as Reggie shared that message about concrete, our faith being like that concrete, mixing our imagination with the Word of God. And that's what it is. That's what our faith is. Our faith is there during the storm, any kind of hurricane storms that come through life. If you have strong faith, just like that strong concrete building, you can withstand the storms that come. You can overcome, be an overcomer. Amen? And so I was thinking about that. And I was thinking about what we've been talking about going deeper with God. And that's why I believe He has placed that in my heart for this time, is that, you know, we need to go deeper with God to develop our faith, because, like it or not, storms are going to come. And I'm of the opinion, it's my contention, that those storms are going to get stronger and stronger as we approach the soon coming return of our Lord and Jesus Christ in this earth around us. And we, as born-again believers, Christians, the body of Christ, our faith needs to rise up like an edifice, and people need to look at us and they see us weathering that storm. They see people like Ruth and the Gearhearts weathering the death of a loved one. They see the Caldwells coming around one another and being strong in this time of adversity in their life. They see people around them in poor health, and they watch and they look and they see how we're handling these things. And so we need to have strong faith no matter what happens. Faith like Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. The joy of all of you sitting here today, the joy of all of you allowed Him to endure the cross, the pain of the cross, the shame of the cross. And we all can endure those trials, We can all be overcomers no matter what comes. No matter what comes. I can only imagine that Jesus talking about imagination mixed with the Word, making up our faith. That I can only imagine that when He walked around, and how many did He heal? Everybody. He healed them all. And I can only imagine that as He walked around and spoke and or laid hands on people and resurrected the dead or brought sight back to the blind or hearing back to the deaf, I can only imagine that He imagined them whole before He even spoke to them, before He even touched them. And that's how we need to be in this earth, I believe. Whatever situation we're going through, or if we're speaking into someone's life, I believe we got to mix that imagination with the Word of God. It's got to be according to His will, right? It says, ask, and it shall be given unto you according to His will. Don't ask for yourself. That's why you don't receive. You don't receive sometimes because you're asking for you out of a selfish need within yourself. You ask amiss. I heard Pastor Rob's joke. I'm not going to repeat it. All right. Don't ask amiss, ask a mister. Okay. I just want to make sure y'all are listening. What if we could be like that? What if we could see the person made whole, set free, before we minister to them, and then just minister the Word? Because it says He sent His Word and healed them. He sent His Word and healed them. It's not our touch. I mean, I coming up and having prayer lines, I believe there's something to that. I believe there's something to that physical impartation into someone. But it's not the person's, it's not the person's touch that heals that person or that ministers to them. It's not their touch. It's the Word of God. It's the anointing. It's what Jesus bought and paid for. That is what is ministering to that person. It's more about their faith and the Word of God than it is about the touch of that person. You know, throughout the book of Acts and in other places, it says many, many, many times, be made whole according to your faith. Your faith. And when Jesus sent out the disciples, they came back and they were celebrating. Man, we're casting out devils. We're doing all these things. But it said the Lord working with them. See, it's not us. Don't. And there's nothing wrong with looking up to people because they are carriers, they're vessels of the Word of God. But we have to look to the author and finisher. We got to look to the source for those things. Amen? If you want to go deeper with God, then get in faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it is impossible. If it's impossible to please Him without it, we better know what it is, right? Isn't that key? Understanding, knowing what faith is. Because I want to be pleasing to my Father. I want to be pleasing to Abba. I want to be pleasing to Daddy. So I better understand what faith is. If I want to be an overcomer, I better understand what faith is. If you're not overcoming in your area, some area of your life, we talked about some things, just to backtrack a little bit, some just tips about going deeper. And one of them that I shared last time about it was a heart examination, examining ourselves, right? If you're not overcoming in a certain area of your life, you need to examine yourself. First, I'm not saying that there might not be external influences, but first we got to look at ourselves. Okay, Lord, am I missing it somewhere? Show me. Holy Spirit, You lead and guide me into all truth. Where am I missing it? Show me. And then if you show me, how do I improve on that? How do I change it? How do I increase in that area? Examine your heart continually. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, out of the Amplified, examine and test and evaluate your own selves to see whether you are holding to your faith. Examine, test, and evaluate your own selves to see whether you are holding to your faith and showing the proper fruits of it. Test and prove yourselves, not Christ. Do you not yourselves realize and know thoroughly by an ever-increasing experience that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless you are counterfeits, disapproved, on trial, and rejected. Again, examine and test and evaluate your own selves to see whether you are holding to your faith and showing the proper fruits of it. Showing the proper fruits of it. What does that mean? Showing the proper fruits of our faith. What are the proper fruits? Well, one is like that concrete structure that we were looking at. Does your house stand up in the storm? Does your house withstand the storm? When the storms of life come, does your house withstand them? Or how much damage does your house take? Some of you, your house looks the same when the storm came as after it passes. Some of you may just lose a few shingles along the way. Some of you may have some windows blown out, maybe the roof removed. And then I dare say there are some where it just flattens their house. We need to examine our own lives and see whether we're holding on to our faith or not. And part of that, the proper fruits, is examining what's coming out of your mouth during that storm, during the trials. Amen? Are we meditating on the Word? Are we listening to the Holy Spirit? And are we doing what He says to do when we hear it? Joshua 1, verse 7. Again, this is a little review, but or verse 8 rather. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then, when? Then, after you've meditated in it, after you've read it, after it hasn't departed out of your mouth, for then you shall make your way prosperous. And then you shall deal wisely and have good success. Again, when? After you've meditated, listened, and then do what you hear. Then you will have good success. Deal wisely, and your way will be prosperous. Verse 9, have not I commanded you? Be strong, vigorous, and very courageous. Be not afraid, neither dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In prayer class, we're learning about the 91st Psalm. And trust me, we all need to learn. No matter how long that scripture has been in your life, there is more to glean from it than you realize. And we were talking about being in the secret place of God, that secret place. He is forever, ever present with us. And we need to get a revelation of that. The ever presence of God within us. And we need to get a revelation of dwelling in that secret place. Dwelling, resting, abiding, living, if you will, in that secret place every day of our life. And when we get away from it, listen, we all do, right? We all get, you know, these things that come and grab our attention. But man, we just get recentered, get refocused, get realigned. You know, when we recognize those times, and I pray that you do. And I think that, Sundays and prayer class and Wednesday nights, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but and seeing something on the TV or listening to a message on a CD, I believe those are times of getting recentered. They are opportunities to allow us to get recentered. And that's why it's so important. That's why the Word says, do not neglect the assembling together of yourselves. Because we all need to get recentered from time to time. We all need to get reintroduced to the Word of God. We all need to understand from time to time that this life is not all about us and what we want. It's about doing the will of our Father. It's about souls and lives being changed and lives being impacted in our families, you know, with our friends and acquaintances, and even among strangers sometimes. So we need to be intentional. We talked about being intentional and going deeper with God. It's a choice, really. You know, if things are swirling around your life and you feel like you're out of control, you have a choice to make. You can continue to swirl around with them, or you can meditate on the Word. You can listen to the Holy Spirit, and then you can do what He shares with you to do. It's a choice. You can choose to speak things out of your mouth that are going to lead to destruction and death, or you can choose to speak those things out of your life that mouth that are going to lead to life and overcoming. It's a choice. But we got to be reminded of it on a regular basis, don't we? If not a daily basis. And if someone else isn't reminding us, we got to be like David and encourage and remind ourselves. So that's why I believe it's important for us to gather in places like this and just be encouraged and celebrate the life that Jesus bought with His own blood to give us. And not take that for granted. Not take it for granted. I mean, it's easy, I understand, to come in here for week after week after week, hear the same thing over and over and over, and just let it glaze over your eyes. Just let it, boom, 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 you know, just let it pass through your mind like a race car. One thought, gone to another, just like that. So that's why we need each other. Amen. That's why we need to be a family, the body of Christ. Mixing your imagination with the Word of God, and all things are possible. Don't tell me it can't be done. Don't tell me it can't be done. Because I know that it can. If it's according to His will, if it says it in His Word, I know it can be done. I know it can be done. Because God will always, 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 always make a way. Always. When we were down in Puerto Rico, they have a rainforest there. It's really beautiful. I mean, I've never been to a place where you can be standing somewhere and you can see the mountains and then see the beach as well. And they have a rainforest there. And they have a native species of bird there called the Amazon parrot that is only to that island. This particular species is only on that island. And when the hurricane came through, this particular rainforest, national forest, El Junquin National Forest, they had 50 of these birds in the wild. And when the hurricane came through, it devastated the rainforest. I mean, stripped all the trees, mainly palm trees, of their leaves, The canopy was completely gone in this rainforest. And we got to talk to one of the wildlife people there. Huh? Park ranger, you know. The guy in the green, okay, with the little hat. We got to speak to one of them, and Kay, our friend, had researched a lot of things about the island and wanted to understand what, you know, happened to the Amazon parrots. And so he was not very emotional, but he was got a little emotional. He says, "Well, why do you ask?" And she said, "Well, we just want to know. We're, you know, familiar with them." And the reason he was a little emotional, because he's been with the park ranger. He's a park ranger for 35 years, and the first 14 of those years, he worked directly with these parrots because they were put on the endangered list at one time. So anyways, the hurricane comes through, right, strips the rainforest, the canopy of everything, and they had 50 of these birds in the wild before the hurricane. And after the hurricane, guess how many were left? Two birds left after the hurricane. And some people are like, you know, they're usually, "Oh my goodness. Man," I thought to myself immediately, I was like, God always makes a way. He left a male and a female in that devastated forest when all hope seemed to be lost. Two were left to repopulate that forest. Isn't that neat? God will always make a way. There is always hope in your life. It may seem hopeless, whatever situation you're going through. It may seem like, I cannot get through this. I cannot get above this. But there is always hope. And God will always make a way. If you will trust in Him, lean on Him, rely on Him, live in that secret place, He will always make a way. Always. Amen? God is so good. He's wonderful. He loves us. He loves you. Listen, I'm here to tell you that God loves you. He loves you exactly where you are. He knows what's going on in your life. He sees all. He understands all. He knows exactly where you are. And He loves you. He loves you. He cares for you. He's jealous for you, the Word says. And He doesn't want to see your time stolen by all these other things. He wants your time. And He'll give you those pleasures that you want to do as long as you give Him your time. As long as you seek Him first in His kingdom, He'll add those things to you. But when we go out and seek those things first, it just doesn't work out. I mean, I personally know millionaires that are miserable. Their money has not bought them happiness. And you've heard testimonies, I'm sure, of many, many more. And you can see it on them, in their countenance, hear it in their voice. They're miserable. But man, you get that relationship right first. Because the Word says what? He'll give you the power to gain wealth, and then He won't add any sorrow to it. When the power to gain wealth comes from Him, there won't be any sorrow with it. You try to gain it yourself, there'll be sorrow mixed with it. And that's why I believe my understanding of why we give, you know? I mean, because it shows where our heart is. The Word talks about it being a heart condition. And so as you give of your finances, of your time, of your talent, you give that away. In fact, that was one of the things, the tips or points that I shared about going deeper with God is to have the mindset of a giving heart, not just receiving. And so I think that, you know, understanding giving helps us. I believe it helps us to receive from God what He has for us, because it shows, and I talked about a trial and a test, it shows Him where our heart is. It shows Him where our heart is. Well, with that, I'm going to wrap things up, and then I'm going to give you an opportunity to give today your tithes and your offerings. And you know, when Reggie shared about Abraham, about the 300 plus going against the four armies of the kings, and how Abraham got the victory in that, but that he recognized why he got the victory, and he gave into Melchizedek, who's a type of Jesus, really. He gave into the covenant of blessing, and God multiplied it back to Abraham. I believe that your giving can be multiplied when you get God's word involved and your imagination. I believe you have to have, how can I say this? Trisha used to say it all the time. You have, vision for your giving, that's certainly one way to put it. You have to have your faith pointed in a direction, or I'm not saying this right. But when you give, one, you give out of the cheerfulness of your heart. But also have a vision for your giving, understanding why you're giving. You know, it's always important to understand the why. And so I think as we give, and as we give today, think about that. Think about what we've shared. Think about the giving into the blessing, and that we give not to get, but to be a blessing, and that God will use that, and I believe He'll multiply it back to you. Amen? So with that, we're just going to receive the offering. Move right into that. If you've prepared your offering, I hope you've prepared it ahead of time. The ushers will receive it. As always, if you give in cash, we have envelopes. Thank you all for blessing Pastor Rob and Tricia on their visit here. I know that they went back blessed and excited about what God is doing here. I'll have more to share. We had a board meeting last week, and I want to schedule some time with the elders, and we're going to discuss some things. But I say all that to say this: God is working behind the scenes. I believe He's working behind the scenes, and I believe we are on the precipice of something big. And I know you may have heard that for time and time again. Do not get weary of hearing that. Do not get weary of hearing that. With all this, and you can gauge it by some of the things that, you know, the attacks that come, you know, it's trying to distract you from something. It can distract. He can use that to distract you from something. But you stay focused. Come back into alignment with the Word of God. And we'll see tremendous things accomplished. Because CGC is a strategic church. CGC is a house of miracles. CGC is a spiritual hospital to all that are hurting. Physical, spiritual, emotional. And we're here for a purpose. We're here for a purpose. Don't lose sight of that. Don't get caught up in the routine of coming to church every Sunday. Don't lose sight that we are here for a purpose, that you have a purpose. And God wants to use you mightily and use this church mightily in these end times. And before we receive that, I'll just start talking about end times. And I said on Wednesday nights how He uses times like that to refocus, to re-energize us, if you will. And I've said this, but Wednesday night's prayer with the pastor, we've discontinued because The Lord wants me to teach a class on end times, and we'll see what that's going to look like. I'm believing it's going to be like an introduction to the book of Revelation, because there. And I was just talking to someone the other day. They're like, "No, I don't want to look at that book. That book's, it's got too much stuff that I don't understand, and it's different, and it's weird." And I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to lead us, and we're going to present it in a way that is going to make sense. Not overly simplified, but not overly complex, and it'll encourage you. It will be meant to encourage you about the end times. Amen. And it allows you, it gives you, it arms you when you're talking with someone else to be able to speak to these things. So I believe it's going to be good. So as you sow, just sow in faith and believe that you are sowing into the blessing. And remember, we're blessed to be a blessing. Amen. Ushers. Hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together. Don't forget our missions bowl up here. We continue to sow in the missions, and that'll be part of, I'll be presenting a church report, if you will, to the congregation as I get that together. So just have that in mind, that we will be talking about that, and that missions will be a part of that church report as we go along. I think when we have days like this, I'm going to make y'all all sit right in one little group, right up here in the front. And listen, I'm telling you, I guarantee you this, and I'll give you a prime example of how the enemy will try to use something against you to discourage you. I don't know, and Gene's not here, but Gene Hernan come up to me one day, and she says, "You know, I noticed something. I wanted to ask you about something." I said, "Okay." She said, "I noticed you took some chairs out." I said, "I did." And there's a reasoning for that. I mean, I don't know if you've ever spoken in front of a crowd, and we talk about it all the time, how people draw things out of you. It is so much, I don't know if easier is the right word, but to preach to a large, and people don't understand, to a large room or a full room versus, you know, a chair here and there. So just my natural thinking, right? I took two rows, back rows out, to make people squinch together a little bit more. And she said, "I noticed you did that." I said, "Yeah, I did that." And she said, "You know, you've been talking about expecting and having a, you know, come in with an expectation. And we're talking about, you know, growing this church." And she said, "Oh, shouldn't we put those back? Because we should be expecting people to fill them up." And I said, "Gene, you're right. You're right." And anyways, but here's what will happen. So we did that. We put the two rows back, right? And I look out and there's so many empty seats, but the enemy will try to come in and say, see what happened? You did that. You stepped out in faith and look at it. There's just people, you know, there's more empty chairs than filled chairs. That's how the enemy works. And that's what we won't allow. That's when you got to stand on your faith, that concrete-like faith, and not let the enemy steal that from you. Just an example for you that it happened, and they happen every day in your life. I know they do. You just got to stand. Amen? Amen.